Well, today, you know, actually today, boy, there's all sorts of things going on in people's lives. Sicknesses and diseases and injuries and people who have great financial need and people who need jobs and people who are discouraged and so many things. So today I'm going to be sharing about praising God in all things. Amen. And boy, I tell you what, it's hard, isn't it? Isn't it hard to praise God in all things? Is it only me, or what about you all? Is it hard to praise God in all things? I'm telling you, it is hard. Turn with me in your scriptures to the book of Acts. Acts chapter 16, starting in verse 16. Acts 16, 16. I hope today that we'll learn a little bit about praising God in all things. I mean, it's something we all need to learn, but it's difficult to do. Acts 16, 16, we read, "It so happened that as we were going to prayer, we met a slave girl who had a spirit of divination, who was bringing her masters much profit from her fortune-telling. And following after Shaul and us, she kept shouting, 'These men are servants of El Elyon, or the God Most High, who are proclaiming to you the way of salvation.' And she kept doing this for many days. But Shaul," this is Paul, "he was irritated and he turned and said to that spirit, 'I command you in the name of Messiah Yeshua to come out of her.' And it came out of her that very moment. But when her master saw that the hope of profit was gone, they grabbed Shaul and Silas and they dragged them into the marketplace before all the authorities. And when they brought them to the chief authorities, they said, 'These men are throwing our city into an uproar. Being Jewish, they advocate customs which are not permitted for us to accept or practice, being Romans.' Then the crowd joined in on the attack on them. So the chief authorities ripped their clothes off of them and commanded them to be beaten with rods. And after inflicting many blows upon them, they threw them into prison, ordering the jailer to guard them securely. And having received this charge, he threw them into the inner prison, fastened their feet into the stocks." But something happened here. "But about midnight, Shaul and Silas were praying, and they were singing hymns to God. And the prisoners, they were listening. They were listening to Paul and Silas here, who were praying and singing hymns. Suddenly, there was such a great earthquake that the foundations of the prison were shaken. Immediately all the doors were unlocked and everyone's chains came loose. And when the jailer woke up and he saw the prison doors open, he drew his sword and he was about to kill himself, supposing that the prisoners had escaped. But Shaul cried out with a loud voice, saying, 'Don't harm yourself! We're all here.' And the jailer called for the lights and he rushed in. And trembling with fear, he fell down before Shaul and Silas. After he'd brought them out, he said, 'Sirs, what must I do to be saved?' And they said, 'Put your trust in the Lord Yeshua and you will be saved, you and your household.' Then they spoke the word of the Lord to him, and along with everyone in his household. He took them that very hour and washed their wounds. At once he was immersed," mikvah, "he and all his household. And the jailer brought them to his house and set the food before them, and he was overjoyed that with his entire household, that he, with his entire household, had put their trust in God. Now, after reading this scripture here, I think all of us would agree that praising God in all things is extremely difficult to do. It's not easy. Look at this. Shaul and Silas here. After having been severely beaten, the last thing, or the last thing that I would want to have to do is to pray and sing hymns to God. I don't know about you, but I would find it difficult if I was just severely beaten to be praising the Lord and singing hymns. Now, if I would ask you, you know, who would be willing to sing hymns and praise the Lord after being beaten severely, in all honesty, how many of you could honestly do that? Just don't raise your hand, you know, because you think you're a super believer. How many could have? Not really much, or any of us could do that. Our tendency, I know what I would do. I'd be moaning and groaning, you know, with all the pain and hurting here. And I'd be angry. Why did they beat me? I'd be furious. What did I do wrong? I'd be upset with the Lord. Lord, here I am. I'm just preaching, teaching your word. And look, and I get beaten up, Lord. Beaten to the pulp. I'm bleeding. I'd be angry with the Lord. However, Rav Shaul here, the Apostle Paul, he knew the secret of gaining victory in this area. And he learned how to praise God in all things. Now, you know, this is just one of many times that he went through this. There was other times he was beaten. He was stoned. They thought he was dead. He was stoned to death. But miraculously, as from the dead, he was raised. Some believe that because of some of his writings, he received injuries in his eyes, maybe the rocks hitting his eyes, and he couldn't see very well anymore. And that's why we see in some of the scripture where it says, "See how I write with such big letters." There's other indications of possibly either blindness or very difficult seeing from the beatings and injuries he received. He was shipwrecked several times. I mean, he went through some very difficult times, starving, cold. And in Acts 16:22-24, we read how Shaul and Silas had been stripped and beaten. And it says that the jailer severely flogged him with rods. This is something similar to billy clubs. You ever see a policeman? They used to use big, hard billy clubs where they beat people and beat people with them. They were beaten with these clubs. Not only that, they were placed in these wooden stocks, which not only secured them, but inflicted pain because it spread their legs and their arms apart, pulling so hard that it was excruciating pain. And then the jailer, after doing all this, left them in this condition, with their arms pulled and their legs stretched tight with blood dripping down them and open wounds and naked in the cold and in the dark. Their flesh open, their blood pouring out. They probably even thought, "Lord, this is the end. I know I'm going to die. I'm not going to survive this." We would expect that after such a brutal treatment and beating here that Shaul and Silas would be moaning and groaning their plight. Without a doubt, they were suffering pain and shock from what they went through, this flogging, this beating. But we saw that something amazing happened in chapter 16, verse 25, where it says, "About midnight, in the midst of all this pain, they began to pray and sing hymns to God. You know what? That baffles my mind. It really does. I know I'm not superhuman or super believer. I've never walked on water before, except when it was frozen and I was ice skating. I admit my failings and I fall short of the glory of God. But here they were in this terrible condition, singing hymns and praising the Lord. Obviously, they had learned the secret of praising God in all things. In recounting the events of his own life, Rav Shaul wrote in Romans 8:35 through 39, these words: "Who shall separate us from the love of Messiah? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are being put to death all day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. But in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing will be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in the Messiah, Yeshua, our Lord." Nothing can separate us from the love of God. But sometimes it seems that way. When we're going through the worst of times, suffering, pain, despondent, down on our luck, it seems. Needing a job, needing a car, needing finances, needing healing. You know, speaking for myself here, I can be honest with you all. You want me to be honest with you all? No? Okay, well, some of you want me to be honest with you. The rest of you want, what do you want me to just tell you a story? No? You want me to be honest with you? I have not yet discovered the secret of being content in all things. I have not. Big secret, huh? Listen, I've gotten much better. I really have. But I've not learned how to praise God in every circumstance. In every situation, I haven't. As soon as difficulties and problems occur, you know what? I still get upset. I still get depressed. I still do. Because as long as I'm in this human body here, I'm going to be frail. I'm going to be full of all sorts of crazy things. Not until I get my heavenly body am I going to be changed and transformed. When difficulties and hardships come, sometimes the joy, my joy sometimes evaporates for a while, disappears, dissolves for a little bit. Sometimes I need to be reoriented, get my bearings back. I'm human. And then my wife is there to straighten me out. She was just showing me there like this. Yeah. Absolutely. And instead of praising and praying, sometimes we let anger and frustration dictate our actions. You ever been there before? We got one honest person and hope, and oh, they got another. A couple more honest people. Well, that's good. What about all you other liars in here? Be honest. When difficulties come, don't we get upset? We do. Absolutely. In other words, we really blow it sometimes. We do. But you know, it says in Romans 7, for what I want to do, I do not do. But what I hate to do, those are the things I do. And what a wretched man or a wretched woman we are. And who will rescue us from this body of death? Thanks be to God, Messiah, Yeshua. He is the one who will do it. He is. You know, we need to understand that God does not want us to praise Him for everything bad that happens to us either. But He wants us to praise Him in the midst of what's going on, in the midst of what's happening. In other words, we shouldn't praise the Lord that, who remembers 9/11? Remember, that was pretty nasty, terrible time. I don't think He wants us to praise you. Oh, praise your Lord that 3,000 some people perished in the World Trade Center, and some of them jumped to their death, and some of them burned to death, and all the firefighters and policemen that died. Thank you, Lord, for everyone who died. No, He doesn't want us to praise Him like that, okay? You know, He doesn't want to praise us that maybe a family member was involved in a horrific accident and they're laying in the hospital in ICU on the verge of death. Thank you, Lord, that they got in a car crash and they're almost dying, Lord. I thank you for that. No. That's crazy, isn't it? That's crazy to do that. We shouldn't praise the Lord that maybe loved ones are separated from us by thousands of miles or for extended period of time. We shouldn't not praise God that we're in great pain or great suffering. Thank you, Lord, that I have this bleeding ulcer. And thank you, Lord, that blood is pouring out of my ears. And you know, we shouldn't thank the Lord for all those things like that. But in the midst, as you're going through these difficult times, as you're going through tragedies and you're going through suffering and difficult situations, we need to learn that we have to continue to worship Him and to praise Him and to exalt Him for just who He is and not lose the joy of our salvation. Because I believe in the midst of the rejoicing, in the midst of praise, there's the power for the victory in our lives. The power of praise will bring that victory. We need to find our strength and power through God's Spirit in our lives. The benefit of praising God in all things is that the power of praise can shatter the foundations of hell and bring freedom. And that's what we need to do, be shaking the foundations of hell as we praise in the midst of all of this. Because that angers Satan. I mean, he wants us to curse God. Just like Job's friend told him. Anybody read the book of Job? It's a hard book to read. His friend said, why don't you just curse God and die? Huh? His wife said it? Well, I was just protecting my wife here. You know, I didn't. Anyway, just curse God and die. In Acts 16:26, it says, suddenly there was a great earthquake, and the foundations of the prison were shaken. Immediately all the doors were unlocked, and everyone's chains came loose. Praise is powerful, people. Praise is powerful. And praise creates and bolsters our faith. It really does. When we praise Him constantly, we defeat the evil one, hell, and all the hosts of demons. We literally shake the foundations of hell and loosen the chains of bondage from the prisoners. When we praise God, our spirits are revived, and we can more readily believe the promises of God's Word. The New Covenant, the Brit Chadashah, teaches us that we must discipline our thoughts and our words so that we can maintain a stance of praise and thanksgiving. We read in Ephesians 5:18-20. Ephesians 5:18-20. Tells us to be filled with the Spirit. Speak to one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Speak to one another. Sing and make music in your heart to the Lord. Always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of Yeshua the Messiah. 1 Thessalonians 5:16-18 says, be joyful always. Pray continually. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in the Messiah Yeshua. This is what God wants you to do in the midst of all you're going through. And this is a stumbling block to many people, including myself here. The flesh tempts us to respond to difficult circumstances and setbacks and even tragedies, not with words of praise, but with anger and bitterness and doubt and even accusations against God and other people. That's our tendency. That's what we tend to do. The attitude of praise and thanks is not just a whistling in the dark. It's the ability to find good in most circumstances and situations, that we can just praise God for who He is. If we're not in unrepented sin, we know that we walk in His care. And we know that in all things God works together for good for those who love Him and have been called according to His purpose. Even the attacks of Satan, the accuser, are not beyond God's controlling power. When Corrie ten Boom, you all heard of her from The Hiding Place? Corrie ten Boom. She found herself in a lice-infested Nazi concentration camp. And she praised God for the Bible that was in her possession. She had hidden it and managed to get it in when she was taken into the concentration camp. And she praised God for this Bible that she had, and she used it to teach the women there the Word of God. When Rashaul, the Apostle Paul, found himself in prison, he used praise, which is the power of prayer, to bring about a shaking and an earthquake that led the Philippian jailer to fall trembling before him, asking, sirs, what must I do to be saved? And they replied, believe in the Lord Yeshua, and you will be saved, you and your whole household. Then they spoke the word of the Lord to him and to all the others in the house. As a result, it said they were all immersed and came to believe in Yeshua. Who knows what opportunities lie ahead for us when we see suffering and trials? We need to see them as opportunities to show forth God's glory and to see God manifest His miracles. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13-14 says, no temptation has seized you except what is common to man. And God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, He will also provide a way out so that you can stand up under it. As believers, we can praise God in all circumstances. Financial reversals, betrayals, and even death. Because we know and believe God's word. Thank you, Lord. The promises of the word of God are so great. I can do everything through the Messiah who gives me strength. It says in Philippians 4:13. And my God shall supply or meet all your needs according to His glorious riches in Messiah Yeshua. Philippians 4:19. And the promises of God are yes and amen in Yeshua. We see in 2 Corinthians 1:20. We're out of praise God in the tears and even in sorrow.